Still with me in studio are Mary Siri Carney, Fine Gael Senator, Nasa Horrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central, Duncan Smith, Labour TD for Dublin Fingal, and Aisling Maloney, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. We're going to have a look at a motion put down by People Before Profit, Aisling. It's about disability supports. One of the things that was being called for is the scrapping of a green paper on disability, which I think is as good as done already. What was it, first of all, and what was the reason behind why it was abandoned by the Minister for Social Protection already, even before this was called?
Yeah, and well, I mean, maybe it's had something to do with it, of course. So this is the Minister for Social Protection, Heather Humphreys, had put forward a green paper on disability reform, and it was scrapped by the government only just at the end of last week. And basically it was looking to kind of reform the disability payment system, and it proposed, I suppose, that the payment system would be changed in a way by creating a kind of a three-tiered system, and also suggested that a person's capacity to work could be medically assessed by people in the department using biopsychosocial functioning model of testing, which many advocates and activists called dehumanising, degrading and unsafe. And there were a number of protests held by disability activists in recent months calling for this green paper to be scrapped. It went to public consultation, I think, in the latter half of last year, and was still up for public consultation and still open for submissions when the minister last week said it was going to be abandoned. And of course, the Department of Social Protection last week said that it was after receiving, I suppose, widespread feedback from the public in negative tones to this green paper that they decided not to proceed with it. But I think, obviously, we all know in the last week we have a new head of government, a new Taoiseach, Simon Harris, who has come kind of put the first foot forward, saying that he is going to have a better look at disability, I suppose, in a way. And he has done this by saying he's creating a cabinet subcommittee on disability and kind of looking at tackling it from a more whole of government approach. And so the People Before Profit, they had put forward a motion actually calling to scrap the green paper. But as you say, it was scrapped preempted before that.
OK, well, yes. We'll come back to what else is in the motion, because there are a number of other issues. But let's just deal with that particular measure by the panel first. There are people, Nasa Horrigan, who clearly have, you know, a lifelong disability, whether that occurred in the course of their life or they were born with it, and that sadly will not change. There are other people who acquired a disability and disability payments are being made. In the case of the latter category, is it at all reasonable that people's, by way of a labour activation measure, as a way of helping them to fulfil their potential, that they would be in any way examined by an occupational doctor and maybe advised as to what work, if any, would be appropriate for them?
I think it's a backwards approach of doing it, because in this country we don't actually give people with disabilities the correct kind of employment supports. So what we're looking at when we see the UNCRPD, which is this kind of it's the human rights of people
the UN Convention on the Rights
of People with Disabilities. Yeah. And it's really central, and we have ratified it, and what it does is it puts the person at the centre of the debate. And you're looking at tailoring your supports or what you require of the person, indeed, to that person. And everybody's experience with disability is completely unique. So, for example, you know, we could be doing things like, if you are a deaf person, you have a translator that, you know, brings you through every step of getting a job, for example, from the interview right up to the workplace, and they stay with you. We don't really do that in this country. Other countries do. So there are lots of things. If we're really serious about increasing the number of people with disabilities in work, we could do that without any kind of, I would say, degrading kind of.
Sure, that green paper is gone, that's the approach.
But the thing is, we do need reform, because, you know, there are people who are getting letters going, you know, have you still Down syndrome? Like, that is the reality of the system we have. We have a one size fits all. And there are people who have a lifelong disability or illness that is not going to change, and there are people for whom they have a disability for 6 months, 12 months, 3 years, 5 years, and they can get back to work, and that's fantastic. I think that if we really serious about the UNCRPD, actually PBP had a motion not too long ago around ratifying the optional protocol, which would hold the state liable where they fall foul of the UNCRPD. That would have been the one to pass unanimously.
Right. And that's in this, that's in this current motion. So talk us through the rest of the motion and we'll go
exactly.
to the rest of the panel.
So the, I suppose when you're talking about there, the optional protocol, my understanding of this quite complex, I think a thing for people to understand is that it would give, I suppose, more obligation on the state, is that right, to actually to do those things that you're talking about there. And while they did ratify the convention, let's call it in brief, it took them many, many years to do so. And so the government has said that without delay, they're going to pass the optional protocol, and people before profit were saying, "Well, that's piecemeal because you could do it without delay right now." But you're right. You know,
it's in the program for government, by the way. Okay. And we're 4 years into this.
And then time is taking, of course.
So, what's the reluctance, Mary Siri Carney, on this optional protocol, or what was the reluctance heretofore that effectively, if people were not happy with the level of service they were getting in order to meet the needs of their disability, they could complain to the UN, and Ireland would be held accountable at the UN. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. We should have it in place. We should have ratified that optional protocol. It was one of the first commencements I ever put in the Shannon, and it was way before the Assisted Decision Making Capacity Act, the amended act came through. And the assurance that I received was, as soon as that's in law, then we will have all the mechanisms in place to be able to ratify it. And then the next line was that the Attorney General is advising against. Now, I don't understand where that's come from. Perhaps it is that there would be, given that the appalling lack of some services, of course, while there's some excellent services going on, but there is huge gaps and huge failings on the part of the state when it comes to disabled persons and persons with disabilities.
It seems, is it an aversion to bad PR that this would be raised at the UN and that Ireland would get a telling off at the UN?
It may also be to managing cases before the courts. It could be something like that. I'm not privy to the Attorney General's advice, but it is not okay. You know, we can't ratify, say, this is a convention that we're signed up to, but actually we're not going to ratify the piece that allows people to make that, litigate on it.
What's your understanding as to the timeline for the ratification of this optional protocol?
Well, in the programme for government, so it should, and there is an urgency, and I think part of the Committee on Disability that's in the Cabinet Subcommittee is now looking at making sure that that's a priority, because it's something that everybody is calling for. We're unanimous in our call for it.
Duncan Smith, you know, that optional protocol could be passed, and all that would happen is a stack of complaints will build up in the UN unless something is done to address the deficiencies in the service. Now, this motion, the PBP motion, was talking about pay restoration for Section 39 workers, other things being looked at in order to provide supports, a basic universal income for people, for carers, and for people with disabilities. Would any of that help?
It would, but there's a couple of things here. The recent referendum on care, one of the reasons that was resoundingly defeated was the fact that it put obligations on the family to provide care, and was seen rightly, in my view and in the views of many, by the disabled community and care community, that the obligations of the state were being, you know, they're washing their hands of it, which is essentially how...
Exhaust the family first and then the state...
Yeah, there was no reference to the obligation on the state. And set against this apparent green paper, which everyone in the community and in the activist space in this area was just appalled by as soon as it was published, the words should never have been committed to paper, never mind a green paper. But look, we have the Disability Capacity Review, which was 2021, I think, at this stage now, 3 years, which was the government's own review into the unmet need in disability sector. So that was quite striking in terms of PA errors, residential care where appropriate, home helps, where we're not meeting the need that's there. We have the cost of disability report as well, in terms of the extra cost it is on individuals and families if you have a disability. Then there's the whole work that's been done there's work being done through the Committee on Social Protection in terms of removing means tests. There are three areas.
This is means
tests across disability and carers payments. Disability and carers payments, which again comes to the reform. I believe that Nessa is talking about, that we're all going to talk about the reform of these payments, because there are degrading elements to these payments as they exist now. All these payments, disability allowance, for example, subject to review at any time, be it on medical grounds or means grounds or whatever. So those three areas I mentioned are areas of real brass tacks work that could be done, that the state should be doing. That would help.
Nasa Harrigan, scrapping the means test on carers, Duncan mentioned, was the Committee on Social Protection.
They're doing work across scrapping means tests across
the regional Department group of independents calling for it as well. And I'm sure probably more than that. But the scrapping of a means testing to family carers allowances,
I think that would be very meaningful. I mean, like, we're talking about the Programme for Government commitments. I would add to that the statutory right to home care would also be very meaningful. And that is in the Programme for Government. And I see sight nor sound of it. And that would be really, really important. But for carers, you know, it's already an incredibly isolating experience. And then you're kind of compounding it by saying you can only work a certain amount of hours, you can only earn so much. And if you go above that, then you're punished. And it's just completely wrong, because what we do know is that carers, family carers particularly, save the state billions every year, upwards of 2 billion. I think that's probably a conservative estimate. So even if we gave every single family that's caring the full amount, it would be nothing like the government, the state is still in profit.
It's like an attitude to people of they're guilty until proven innocent, and that I have a fundamental problem with that. It's like somebody sat down and said, "Well, we have to put a limit on the amount of hours that a carer could work, because actually they'll just claim this and then they'll go off working and they leave the person with a disability." When all of the evidence is that family carers are completely and utterly dedicated.
So would scrapping this means test be a good way to answer anybody who came out in the referendum and had concerns, to at least allay some of those underlying concerns that caused people to reject the care referendum?
There needs to be a whole of government response, a whole department, across all departments.
Is this something the subcommittee in Cabinet could do?
I believe it needs to, because there's all sorts of things. Nessa touched on it, but I had a man sit with me in a clinic last year, and he has a 38-year-old daughter with Down syndrome, and they have to apply for they have to fill in multiple forms every year. I can't for the life of me understand how there isn't a list of red circled conditions that
with respect,
lifelong.
I mean, your party has been in power for 13 years.
Absolutely.
And this situation
held the disability
is continuing
for all those years.
Sure, but I mean,
but that is no excuse. The fact of the matter is it needs to be done. And I can't answer for then, but I can say what I want now and what I have been saying since I came into the Oireachtas, is that it is fundamentally unfair. It has an attitude to people that they're out to do the state rather than actually that we owe them a debt of service.
I think I was watching the Public Accounts Committee back in January, and the Secretary General of the Department of Social Protection did say that if we were to abandon all means tests on carers allowance, that it would cost the state something upwards of 700 million, maybe a billion. But as you said there, when you're saving the state much money.
And also he's not factoring in the admin costs of means testing, which is significant.
And then also I suppose I'm kind of looking at all of this and I'm saying the time is ticking on this government, and if you've scrapped the Green Paper now, how quickly are you going to come back to more reforms, and how quickly are you going to get them in before a government group
your party was in government as well, and you know, this has been a persistent issue across that time. How has it not happened yet, and should it happen now?
Look, I mean, it should definitely happen now. I mean, again, we've had these two moments in the last couple of weeks with the referendum result and the scrapping of this Green Paper. I think it's been a coalescing around this issue that we haven't maybe seen before. And we've all the data now, as I say, we have those reports, government-sanctioned, government-published reports. We have that. We know how much is needed. We know the payments. We know what needs reform. Like, committees have started doing work on it. It needs to be done and pushed forward now.
Okay. All right.